listening to The Pipeline Show with Guy Flaming.
Badass.
It is badass.
Really cool.
Badass, yeah.
Welcome back to The Pipeline Show. Exciting times. The NHL draft just a couple of weeks away now, or 3 weeks away, and that means everybody that is associated with the draft is super busy, and that includes my next guest, as we're happy to bring back Ryan Yessi from HockeyProspect.com. And Ryan, I know you guys are incredibly busy right now because the Black Book, the staple of the scouting industry right now, that is due to come out here shortly, isn't it?
Yeah, we're looking at about 48 hours from now to getting that out. So yeah, it's been a really busy last 6-7 weeks.
Yeah, and you and I are having this conversation on Tuesday. People will be hearing this on Wednesday, so sometime within the next 24 hours for when people are able to hear this conversation. And just so much cramming that has to go into the last few days here before the Black Book, because you guys go to the Combine and you're talking to players and picking the brains of scouts. And so whatever happens at the Combine really influences, or at least there's stuff to take from that and put it into the Black Book still.
Yeah, there's it affects rankings, you know, when we're really close on a guy, and if we get good reports on a guy or he has a good combine, those are one of those little tiebreakers that might play an impact. It also helps us with our draft guide, adding more quotables, getting more accurate heights and weights, making sure everything's right up to the minute when we put this thing out.
All right, well, let's get to some of the guys that out of the OHL that you know very well, and you probably had a chance to chat with a few of them at the combine. Let's start with Jason Robertson from the Kingston Frontenacs, who I have to admit I'm intrigued by and I don't know enough about. Here's a guy who's got size and put up really good numbers this year, but tell me more than just what I can see from looking at his box score.
Yeah, he's the guy that I did speak to at the combine. He's one of the more chatty players. I think he was the longest interview that I had there. He's a very confident player. He highlights his goal-scoring ability and his hockey sense is his two best assets, and I would tend to agree with that. That was something I noticed with him when he played for the Don Mills Flyers, that he was a very smart player that knew where to go on the ice, and he had a great shot. But one of the things I also noticed is, and he touched on this, is building more strength and working out. Talking to him physically, he didn't look like a guy that spent a lot of time in the gym, and he spoke on that, and that's something that once he gets into that habit and gets into that pro routine of working out consistently and building up his strength, that's something that may actually help with his skating, which is one of his concerns. Offensively, he's got a fantastic shot. He's a very creative player. And one of the questions I asked him, I said, what's an underrated talent that you have? And he spoke on his playmaking ability. And I think he really showed that off in the series against Hamilton where, you know, he's known for a shot. He's known for having some size and everything, but he made some really smart plays in the offensive zone to create chances for his line mates. So I think he's a very offensive-based player. He's got some defensive abilities, but I think that's another area he can improve on.
When he had 81 points this year in 68 games, and 42 of those are goals, those are really strong totals, but you look at the rest of the team, he had 30 more points than anybody else on his squad at the end of the regular season. How is it that I have to assume the other team is focusing everything on him, yet it's not stopping him? That's impressive to me.
Yeah, and I mean, they did have Warren Fogle on the team until the trade deadline when they dealt him to Erie, and the player they received back was Brett Newman, who doesn't quite have the same offensive totals as him. So
fair.
I think when that trade happened, he did become the focus, and he's a very shoot-first type of player, and I think that's something where when guys are keying in on him, and I mentioned it in the Hamilton series where guys were keying in on him, he was their main focus, is he's got that ability to set players up. And that's kind of an ability that makes him really intriguing at the next level, is that even though he shoot first and D are going to focus on him and he's going to put a lot of pucks on net, he does have that ability when they do try and single him out that he can utilize playmaking ability to set up his line mates for odd man chances.
Now, big Isaac Ratcliffe for the Guelph Storm, another guy who put up decent numbers this year, 30 points less than Robertson did, but still 28 goals in 67 games for big Isaac Ratcliffe, and he is big, isn't he, like 6'5", 6'6"?
Yeah, he's about 6'6". Isaac Ratcliffe, I would say, was my best interview at the Combine. I was really impressed with his maturity, his outlook, his understanding of of what he needs to do moving forward to become a better player. He's kind of a projection guy, and when he played for the London Junior Knights in his OHL draft year, we had him very high. We actually took a fair amount of criticism putting him in our top 10. And now looking back at that and seeing the way he's developed, he was a guy who we said, look, he might take a little bit longer than some of these other guys, but he's going to become a very good player. And I think that's what he's starting to prove, is that he is one of the top players out of that draft class based on not only his size, but his point production. And I think that's something that we're going to see when the NHL draft comes. I think he's going to be a guy that might take a little bit longer to develop because he's trying to fill out that big frame. But he's one of those guys that when you look 5 years down the line, you can go, this guy was absolutely a first-round prospect. And I think what he does well is there's not a lot of big guys that are good playmakers. Usually when you see those big guys, they drive the net, they shoot the puck, they crash. And he's more of a guy that uses his mind and uses his puck skills. And I mean, it's extremely difficult for somebody his size to have puck skills at his age. So you're only going to see him get better. You look at some of the other big guys out there that once they develop, they get a little stronger on their feet, and he's already a better skater than some of those guys, and he's already got those puck skills. So when you look at him 5 years later, when his body physically matures, he's already got those puck skills. He's going to be even better offensively.
Speaking with Ryan Yessi from HockeyProspect.com, let's move to a couple of Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds and start with defenseman Connor Timmins, who is average size, 6'1", 185 pounds, but another player who's considered by some as a potential first-round pick. What do you like about him?
Yeah, I've seen him kind of all over the place. We will not be ranking him as a first-round prospect at Hockey Prospect. One of the things I really like about him is he's got size, but when he's got that time, he can see the ice and he can make the pass up. He's got a pretty decent shot from the point. He's got a very giant frame for somebody of his size. So although his height is around average or a little over average of what you're looking for a defenseman, his frame is very strong and thick, and he can protect the puck. Now, one of our biggest concerns with him is how he handles the pressure, because his puck retrieval ability isn't where you want to see it, especially for a late 98 rather than a 99. You know, this is his third year of junior. So we'd like to see him be a little bit better in that area.
Right.
Like to see a little bit more aggression out of him. So, I mean, there's a lot of areas where we look at him and we go, you know, we want to see him get a little bit better, but there's definitely some promise. Obviously, he's put up great points from the blue line. It's tough for those big defenders to put up that many points, and he does deserve credit for that.
And then he's got a teammate that's up for the draft in Morgan Frost, a forward who I'm guessing he's probably more of a second-rounder type player as well. But tell me about him. Is 62 points in 67 games. And if I remember correctly, I think we've talked about him before, or I've talked to somebody else from HockeyProspect.com about him. Speed is one of his better assets. Still the case?
Yeah, and not only his speed with his feet and his skating, but also his smarts. He's very smart player, and I think that's what makes a huge difference for him. This guy is around, you know, Nate Schnarr's size. This is the type of player. Morgan Frost is a guy that I could see ending up in the first round, but because he doesn't have that size, because he is under 6 feet tall, like, that's kind of one of the concerns moving forward, that he doesn't have that size, but he's a very smart player. He passes the puck off quickly. He makes quick decisions. He's got some skill going to the net, putting the puck on net. He's got good offensive tools, but I think his smarts really helps him. He's a good two-way player. So, I mean, if he's a bigger guy, if he's got that 6'1", 6'2 frame, I think this is a guy we might be able to talk about in the first round. But because he doesn't have that, that's going to hurt him a little bit.
Okay. That's fair, I think, to say that. The London Knights have a couple of notables as well, as they usually do. Robert Thomas, who's an average-sized forward, 6 foot, 187, 190-ish pounds. Point-per-game guy, though, this year, 66 points in 66 games. And I know he was a fairly high draft pick of theirs. Wasn't he not a first- or second-rounder, maybe a second-round pick?
Yeah, Robert Thomas was taken in the second round by the London Knights.
Yeah. All right. So what is he showing you as at the junior level?
I think he's a really good two-way player. He's a smart two-way player, but handles the defensive zone very well for a guy that's got good offensive attributes. I really like his hands. His hands are probably the best asset to his game. He's creative. He's a good playmaker. He's shown a little bit of goal scoring ability, but he really offensively relies on that pass. And I think he's unselfish to a flaw. You know, we saw it in the playoffs, especially. I think this is where it really highlighted for me. When he takes the puck to the net, he'll pass off. And even when he's got a lane and the guy he's trying to pass to is covered, he doesn't want to take that puck to the net and he wants to pass off. And I think that's hurt him a little bit going forward, is that he's unselfish to a fault, where he has a clear chance to put the puck on net and try and score, but he'd rather pass off on a lower percentage play. So that's kind of a concern for me. His skating gets kind of different opinions. We've had differing opinions. I think he's a pretty decent skater, especially for his size. He's always got his feet moving. He's aggressive on the forecheck. He works hard on the backcheck. He's really a great competitor in his defensive zone and has a really complete game. So I think if he becomes a little more confident with the puck when he's going to the net and when he's in those offensive situations, we've seen players on London do that before, where they've fixed that kind of tendency in a player. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see Robert Thomas be a little more confident with the puck, especially after he gets drafted.
Well, and that brings us to his teammate in Alex Formenton and another forward. But he's seems to be, might be a bit of a late bloomer from a physical sense, 6'2", and about 165 pounds. So still lots of room for him to fill out his frame. Do you see him as a bit of a late bloomer?
Yeah, especially physically. I mean, we watched him in the OHL draft. He ended up going in the 11th round. He was a guy that I think a lot of people wrote off because he's just so small. He was 5'6", and I kind of talked to him at the combine and joked with him. You know, he used to be teammates of Zach Gallant. I said, it must be weird always looking up to him playing hockey all the way up growing up, and now you're at eye level with the guy. So, you know, he was always, you know, 5-6 inches shorter than him. Now he's the same height as him. And I've talked about players before. I mean, another example I'd give, this young player played for Sarnia and Blainville Boisbriand is Brock Perry. The kid grew from 5'9" to 6'4", and he's a year older than Formenton. And one of the things I've noticed watching him is learning how to develop physically. And I think that's a big thing for Alex Formenton, is learning to develop physically. It's very tough when you gain all that height, but you don't have anything to fill that frame out with. Now, the other thing with him, when I met him at the combine, I noticed he has a bit of a thin frame, like he's very slender frame. So that's going to be extremely important for him to put on 30 pounds of weight muscle before he's able to compete at the pro level without getting hurt. He's a guy that has great speed. He's got pretty good goal scoring ability. He's a guy that got opportunities on the second line at times. He got some top 6 minutes, but when London made those trades at the trade deadline, he was primarily a fourth liner that would get rewarded with good play from time to time, moving up to second or third line. But he really just played a general fourth line role. So he was a guy who didn't get a chance to continue to improve on his offensive numbers as the season went on.
Ryan, the draft not that far away. I'm sure we'll maybe call you again one more time before the day finally arrives. But as we said at the start of this, the Black Book will be available. It might already be available by the time people are hearing this, or it's about to become available. How do people get their hands on it?
They'll be able to find it on the website hockeyprospect.com. We're also going to be putting a physical copy on Amazon. That's a little unpredictable. Sometimes it goes up in 2 days. Sometimes it takes a week. It's all up to their website. So we'll be submitting that immediately once this draft guide is done.
Fantastic. Excited to see it again. Always a great amount of work and a great amount of information that you guys assemble for draft junkies everywhere. Thanks for this, Ryan. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to you later.
It's Ryan Jesse from hockeyprospect.com. And I had that conversation with Ryan yesterday. So when he said 48 hours, you can take 24 hours right off of that. And we should be creeping up closer and closer to the long-awaited release of the 2017 Black Book from hockeyprospect.com. You heard him at the end, how to get your copy of that publication when it comes out. If you're a draft junkie like I am and like most listeners to the Pipeline Show are, that's a must-get every year, because they do a fantastic job, and there is so much information in the Black Book. that, man, you got a lot of reading to do leading up to the draft and even after that. You know, if you're a casual prospect hockey fan and you pick up the Black Book, you can, you know, and your team goes out and selects seven or eight guys and they're players you don't know because you don't follow junior hockey closely or college hockey. You go to the Black Book, look up some information on those guys. It's fantastic. It's a great resource. Highly, highly recommended. All right, that's it for the guest portion of the show. When you come back, I'll just have some parting thoughts, tell you what's coming up on the next edition of the Pipeline Show, and tell you a little bit more about the Patreon page as well. Okay, we'll do that when we come back. You're listening to the Pipeline Show, and hey, my name is Guy Flaming.